We are New Song, a Foursquare church in beautiful Colorado Springs. We love Jesus. We love each other. We are family. If you have any questions or prayer requests, you can always visit us simply by going to newsongcs.com. Thanks for joining us as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
God's got hope for us this year. That's what I want to talk about today. I promise to encourage you today. It's not a word that's going to say, you're messing up, you're doing a bad job. If you watch the news, we have every year, and almost every channel does a year in review, right? And this year has not been so super great in the year in review. I looked at the Colorado Springs news actually had a year in review, and it said the top 10 things are the top 13 things in Channel 13 this year, and they were like horrible. It was like they had this nice graphic and party favors and, well, a man dies and a man does it and someone has a fire. And it's just like horrible. It's just very sad. And I want to tell you, if your last year was a year in review, if we were to do a year in review on Abby or whoever in this room, you might think, oh, it doesn't sound good. Let me just tell you your year in review. I haven't plan this out, but I'm just thinking, if it's bad, I want to tell you, God was preparing, God was setting you up, God is in the business of getting you ready. He had things that were coming. So if it seemed bad, it's going to be good. I promise you that. I'm going to tell you from the word today that you can have a hope and it can be based on something that is an anchor that will not move, that you have a hope that that is not going to just be based on, oh, I just hope this happens. God's got exciting things for us. About 8 days ago, we had a Christmas Eve service in this room. It was really fun, really cool, really beautiful, seeing all the Christmas lights, but all the candles lit. A couple weeks ago, I did say thank you to the decorations, and you weren't here, Barbara, but you and your team did a beautiful job in this room of Christmas. And what we decided to do is we're going to keep the Christmas stuff up all year this year. It'll be great. Mm-hmm. And our drummer will love it because he can't get to his drums every week. But we walked through hope on Christmas Eve, and we felt very strongly I felt very strongly that for our church, maybe a word for, maybe it's just January or maybe it's for the whole year, but it's this is a year of hope for us. We lit a candle on the 1st of December, 4th of December of love, and then we lit a candle of joy, and then we lit a candle of peace, and then we lit all of our candles of hope on Christmas Eve to kind of symbolize. I told the people it kind of symbolizes the hope that is not just one little light, not just one little flicker, but hope multiplies when you give place to it from God. When God gives you hope and you say, yes, I trust you, it multiplies. It's exponential in what it does. And I told the people to look around at the lights and see the candles and let it be a testimony of whatever you're hoping for this year to just explode in your life, and you'll see light everywhere. I declare again today over you and your family and your situation and your finances. If I had an organ, it would be perfect right now. It would be in your finances, in your situations, in your families, and your fear and your dreams, that this coming year will be a year of fulfilled hope, not a year of deferred hope. There's a scripture, it's in Proverbs 13:12. I think we might have it, and it says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. This is in a different version. Let's look at this one. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. In another version, it says it like this. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. How many have had a hope that has been deferred? Oh, it hasn't happened yet. It can be sickening. It could actually make you sick. It can make you feel sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And I want to talk to you today about how to have a hope that gets fulfilled and is a tree of life and is not deferred. You might say, you don't know the impossible things I'm hoping for this year. I don't think God can do those things. We already talked about it. God can. God's a miracle God. It's not jargon that a church says just to sound good. It's true. God is a miracle working God. Let me remind you what hope is. Hope is not a nonchalant, swaying back and forth kind of religious dance with God. It's not a escape from reality. Oh, I hope this happens. I wish this was happening. It's not an escape from your problems. It's not a wish on a candle, a wish upon a star. It's not a rabbit's foot. It's not a fortune cookie. Let me see what this fortune cookie says. I like fortune cookies, and maybe it's wrong that if it's a good one, I always take it. It's like you are going to be rich this year. I'm like, yes, thank you. I'll take that from the Lord, but it's not a fortune cookie, right? Everyone, that's why you're laughing, because we all kind of do it. If it's bad, it's like, you are going to go into problems with your relationships. Oh, these are so stupid. I'm going to throw this away, right? Hope is not a horoscope. It's not I'm going to mystically visualize that this next year, what is going to happen to me. It's not that. A biblical hope is based on God's promises. We've talked about God's promises before, and the good thing about God's promises is that they're not like Bob's promises or Randy's promises. Although they probably keep their promises often, God always keeps his promises. In fact, God cannot not keep his promise to us. God's promises are not even promises. It's not even a contract. It's a covenant that it can't be broken, that it was sealed with his son's blood on the cross. He gave his son for us to make it so that he can't go back on his promise. God wants your hope to be based on his promises. When hope is based on God's promises, it will put your life into gear. It will put you into, maybe it's first gear, second gear, third gear, fourth gear, fifth gear. I even have a sixth gear on my car. Maybe it will do that when you hold fast to a hope based on God's promise. Look at the Bible. Everyone that ever hoped in the Bible, it exponentially multiplied in the way what God did in their lives. We could go through stories of Abraham and Moses and Isaac and Jacob and Paul and Silas, and you could just name any story in the Bible that was based on hope, and it exploded. When hope is activated, it brings life. It lights fires everywhere, not bad fires, but fires of hope in your family, in your devotions, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your finances. Zzz. God wants to give you this kind of hope. Look at Romans chapter 15 with me for a moment, and I want you to circle it and underline it in your Bible. And if you don't have a Bible, just act like you're writing in your Bible and look at the screen. I don't think there is anything that says that you're a better Christian if you bring your Bible to church. My mom taught me that as a kid, but as I became a youth pastor and I would... one service I would be in church and the other service I'd be with the youth, I would often forget my Bible at the youth room, and then I would look bad, and then I stopped thinking that you have to be a good Christian to have your Bible. So everyone's got an excuse, I understand. Romans 15:13 says this: now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We could do a 7-parter on this scripture today. We could do a 7-part sermon. All I'm going to do today is let it spirit. I like how it ended on that word. Let it speak for itself. You meditate on this later or this week or this month or this year when you're looking for hope and you're wondering where it is. Know that the God of hope will fill you, that you may abound in hope. In In another version, it says it like this: abound in hope, the same. ESV version. I always thought it was something different, but it does say that God will make it. What abound means is to overflow, is to fill you, is to make it so that there's more than you could ever want. How many want more hope than you could ever want? Amen. Well, it's nice, but hope seems for me hard to believe in. I know that, you know, I go there. I always give this other side, but I just want to be real. For me, I'm not saying for me, but maybe for you, this is you. Hope is dim. For what I'm hoping for, it's very dim. I can barely see the hope there. I talked about our son Jaden before we got him, and how dim that got. And we got to the last straw. We were done. We were done. We were going to our last visit with a parent that we thought maybe they might have a baby that was going to have Down syndrome, and they were wanting to get rid of it. And we said, you know, we don't even want to go anymore with this. After this, we're going to meet this mom. She's going to get her hopes up, and then she's going to crash them. So we're done. But we'll go to this one last meeting. And then we went to Chick-fil-A right before because we were early. As business as usual, we went to Chick-fil-A, went to the drive-thru, and the lady said, "Hi, I'm Hope. How can I help you today?" And we were both like, "Ah, thank you. I have a chicken sandwich." Because hope thrives in situations that are dim. I would remind you, we had a holiday about 96 hours ago called Christmas that celebrated a very dim hope that came into the world. It came in not as a bright light, not into a castle, not as a king, but it came in as a dim, quiet little place, Bethlehem. Hope thrives in places where there is no room for you here. Hope multiplies in messy stables. Hope grows in genealogies that are full of broken people. If you look at the first part of the Christmas story, it starts with a very boring, long thing of Matthew 1 of all of Jesus' family before him. Before Jesus was born, his aunts, his uncles, his grandpas, his grandparents, and they were all losers, pretty much, like us. If you look at their lives, they did some great things, but if you look at their lives, they were kind of people that had very dim hope, but God worked through them. Anyways, amen, hope grows in those situations. Hope happens in reckless governments. Pilate, Quirinius was governor of Syria, and Herod, they were reckless. They were corrupt establishments, but hope happens in those places. Hope lives in settings where some assembly is required. I told you that I was going to put together. I told you Noah was going to put together something on Christmas Eve because I don't like that word. Those three words scare me. Some assembly required. I don't like that. I don't even like to watch you crochet because I'm getting nervous. Like, I can't do this. I don't know how to do this. It makes me assembly. I don't like assembling things. Sorry, I didn't mean to point. I don't care. I don't really don't care. But Noah had a little bit of me in him because he got frustrated with his, he was putting together a kitchen, and the worst thing happened. He had to come to his dad and ask for help. And I'm like, what? And the screws for a little kid's baby's kitchen were like this long, and they don't go, they have holes, but the holes are like this long. I guess you're supposed to use a drill too, but my drill was out of battery. And so we're taking a screwdriver, trying to push. There's like 17 screws, and it just took all night. It was horrible. But we got it done. It was not easy. But what are you hoping for in this new year? God knows that it may not be easy. It may not be a kitchen. Maybe you're hoping for a kitchen for your house. Talk to Jeff. He could help you with that. God knows the things we hope for. And this is what he asks for us when he says, okay, what do you hope for? Well, let me ask you a question. This is a question to you from God, from Jesus particularly. He says this: what do you want me to do for you? What is it? That's what he asks. He's not like, oh, well, what are you going to do for me? What are you going to show me? He just says, what do you want me to do? If you want to look at this, you can, or you, I can just tell you about it. Mark chapter 10, God asked this, Jesus asked this to a man who was obvious what he wanted him to do. It was obvious what he wanted him to do, but he asked him anyways. It may be obvious what God wants, but have you voiced it to God? Mark chapter 10, just very quickly, verse 46, it says that... It says that they came to Jericho, Jesus and his friends, his posse, his crew, his squad. And as they went out to Jericho with his posse, a great multitude blind came. Blind Bartimaeus was one of them. I used to get mixed up that Bartimaeus was a disciple when I was a kid. I was confused. I was like, why is I... I always thought that. I don't know why I thought that. But he was sitting by the road. He happened to be blind. When he heard it was Jesus, he began to cry out. And he said, Jesus, where are you? Son of God, have mercy on me. He declared that he was the Son of God, by the way, right there. We're like, yeah, of course, it's the Son of God. Back then, people weren't sure who Jesus was. He declared, Jesus, you're the Son of God. I know you're real. I trust you. I will take the step. I don't know what it is, but where are you, Jesus? Then many warned him, shut up. Dude, this is Jesus. Don't be like creeping in on him. Son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. He said, come over here, I hear you. Be of good cheer. Rise, he's calling you. So the same people that were like, shut up, they're like, oh, he says, come over. So stop shutting up. Come over here. He's calling you. Come over. And throwing aside his garment, I don't know what that means. He rose and he came to Jesus. Hope he had on other garments. And so Jesus answered and said to him, maybe it's, there's always a reason for things in the Bible, and sometimes it's to be funny, but probably it's saying, you know, he's just giving up, he's abandoning, he's getting anything out of the way, the obstacles maybe that was there, maybe he could, maybe he needed, maybe he, I don't know. He was coming to Jesus, and Jesus answered and said, a question, just a question. Peter, what do you want me to do for you? Maybe you're like, I've already told God. Maybe you haven't, though. Maybe you've said it in your mind. Just tell him. It's amazing what can happen. The blind man said to him, Teacher, Rabbi, may I see again? May I receive my sight? Then Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith, that's all it took. Just a little bit that you had has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus. The man being ever so seemingly impossible what he was asking for, he voiced it to Jesus anyways. He said to him, I want to see. Something about when we present our requests to God, something happens. Something happens in the spiritual realm when we voice it, when we say something. God loves us to say out loud what we need, and God comes through. What do you want God to do for you? In just a few minutes, we're going to receive communion. We're going to do it differently today. You're going to come to the front or maybe even to the back. I'm going to get crazy here. Peter, could you take one of these and put it on the back table there? You're not going to be bunched up with other people. Don't worry. But you're going to get yours, and you're going to pray by yourself, or you're going to pray with a friend, or you're going to pray with a with your whole family. Maybe that's a big step for you. But if you're by yourself, do it by yourself. That's actually better, probably, because you could be more honest. But if you're with people, then it'd be more honest if you could be honest with them, too, as you do it together. You're going to all hold it, and you're going to pray. One person's going to pray, and then you're going to receive. But in a few minutes, we're going to do that. We do it every first of the month. That's what we do. It's something different this year, this month, because it's the first of the month, but isn't it a special day today? It's the first of the year, and I want to say Happy New Year's today. We always call it celebrating communion. We're going to celebrate communion on this New Year's, and we're going to attach it to what we're hoping for. We're going to attach it to what's inside, what God's speaking to us. We have to respond when God speaks to us. people love to make resolutions the first day of the year. In fact, churches all over the world are today making New Year's resolutions. There's pastors talking about it. They're talking. I heard of this one message. I like the name. First Things First was the name of it. It's a great, great name for the first message, and that's the name of mine today. I'm going to change mine. No, mine's just called Hope, Part One. Hope, Part One. But people all over are making resolutions, and today we're not going to make a resolution. There's nothing wrong with that, but resolutions get broken. At least mine do. I don't know, Sandy, if yours break or if you keep them all year. Our kids make fun of us because we'll say, no soda, and then 7 days later, it's January 7th, and we're drinking soda. Oh, we're having pizza, so you got to have soda with pizza. Oh, I thought we weren't going to have pizza anymore either. Well, you know. Resolutions get broken. The ball dropped last night. Even that got broken. Did you hear that? I can't believe that. I know. It's perfect for my sermon, even though it's not true. We have enough discouragement. So let's talk about something that doesn't get broken. Because one man was broken for all of us. His name was Jesus. It gets really religious when you talk about communion this way, but it's true. His life was broken for us so that we don't have to be broken, so that he can mend us, so that we can be forgiven, so that we can have hope, so we can have what we need. That's why it's good news. It seems like, well, what's the catch? There is no catch for your marriage, for your relationship, for your situation. Just trust. What do you want me to do for you? This is the secret to biblical hope. People love to make resolutions, and I said that already. The promise is full of resolutions. This promise is full of resolutions that God promises to keep with us. In fact, he can't not, didn't I tell you that? He can't not keep his promise. He has to. It's not fair. Some of you don't deserve him to keep his promise to you. Me either. He doesn't. I don't even deserve it, but he does it anyways. When hope is based on God's promise and covenant, things happen. I want to just give you a list of things that can happen for you. Maybe your situation is different. The Holy Spirit gave these to me that I felt like I should share these, but maybe yours is something else. Maybe yours is way out there that you can't hope for. But when it's based on a covenant, these are some of the things that can happen. God can fix things that have been broken, for a long time. There is hope this year for him to fulfill that. God can assemble things that are incomplete. He can assemble things that are incomplete. He can call children home that are far from him. Oh, now you're just speaking things that aren't true. Yes, he can. He does it. Maybe it's someone that's been away for a long time. I know my brother that was up here helping lead worship a couple weeks ago. He had a long road before he came back home, but he came back home. He can repair marriages that are not over yet. He can help you kick addictions and habits that you want to get rid of. He can. It's not impossible for him. He can give you the desire to kick those habits and addictions. He can help you see your dreams fulfilled, see your expectations come to pass. And he can help you forgive and get rid of bitterness. Would you come up? His goal in this new year is to bring hope based on his promise and based on one other thing. Based on his promise and based on your prerogative to ask. Well, God says, what do you want me to do for you? It's simple, simple message, but it's the gospel. And he says, what is it? And he'll do it. Would you just bow your heads, close your eyes, just for privacy's sake? Lord, you see our hearts. Our moms can't see our hearts. Our friends can't see our hearts like you can. No one can see what's in our spouses can't even see exactly what's in our hearts. But you see our hearts, and that can be, I've said this many times to teenagers, it can be a good thing, but it could also be a bad thing because you see our hearts. But you choose to bring mercy, bring grace, bring love, bring joy, bring peace, and bring hope to whatever's in our hearts. And I ask as we take this time to remember your death, but also remember your resurrection, that we would attach whatever that thing is that we're hoping for to the promise, to the covenant that you've done with us. That yes, this, what we're going to receive in a couple of minutes, helps us to be forgiven, but it also helps, brings healing, and it brings hope to whatever situation that we need. Thank you, Lord. We're finished today. We're going to do something right now. I think I'm going to have you maybe stand just to make it easy, make it more relaxed. And when you're ready, it's going to keep you from making this just a thing that we do. We take the thing and we put it under our chair. We're going to the next thing. You're going to take a moment with this. And you can take, not a long moment, but take a moment. You're going to take the bread. It's just a wafer type thing. It breaks. I see a lot of people do that here. You break it to remind you that God broke himself for us. I've never done it before like that until just this moment. It broke automatically for me, and it's even got a place to break it. It barely tastes like anything, but it represents the broken body that was broken for you so that you don't have to be broken, so that you can be mended. You hold it, you get the juice, you hold it, you pray to yourself, you voice it to God what you want. God, what do you want? What do I want? I want to tell you, well, this is what I want. If it's a big family and you each want to voice something, if you're that open, do it. If you can't voice it, you take time to voice it to God yourself. However that is, quietly. I know that's against what I just said, so maybe later voice it. But do, maybe you're either going to do this as an individual with a friend, maybe you're going to ask someone to stand in with you, or as a family. And we're going to sing a song, and as we do that, just take whenever you're ready to do it. Come up, get it, pray. Fabulous. You can also go to the back. There's some elements back there as well. Would you stand? We're going to close here. Sing it with us. I'm smiling right now, and maybe I participated more than you. I don't know. I just feel like I've had church today. I don't like to leave church feeling like, oh, I needed to do more, and I didn't. I feel like I've touched God's heart today. I feel like God's touched me. I hope that's the same for you. Maybe your prayer isn't you surrender all. You're not surrendered all. That's okay. You don't have to be there yet. But at the supermarket, they're not going to say clean up on aisle three. Also, if you need Jesus in your life, would you just raise your hand right now? They're not going to do that. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to give you the opportunity. We need to give that opportunity at church in God's house. So just with your eyes closed, not to embarrass anyone. Sometimes you need to be embarrassed and sometimes you need to come to the front. But today, you're just going to acknowledge, you know what I did today? Or what I'm doing right now, because you asked, I am saying, Jesus, I need you in my life. You've not been there this last year. You need to be there. I need to make a new stance. I need to make a new commitment. I need to say, Jesus, I need your help, because I got a lot of things I'm hoping for, and I need your help in them. If that's you today with your eyes closed, everybody, just raise your hand real fast. Put it down. Let me see it. Right on, right on. A number of you, anybody else, that's what you got to do today. Right on, right on. Amen. We want to be real with you, God. We need your help. I need to recommit my life to you. Anybody else, just real quick before we close. Lord, I thank you for your hope for us. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you love us unconditionally. I pray you for Thank you for your forgiveness. I pray that we would walk in your promises. I pray that we would not try to do things ourselves. And we declare that this new year of 2017 will be a year of hope, and the best is yet to come in our lives. Maybe we've seen some great things in the past, but we declare, and I declare over my family, I declare over my son Riley, Noah, Jaden, Reagan, Cynthia, my wife, I pray the best is yet to come in our lives. I pray that the best is yet to come, and every person in our family here in this church, we're excited, we're expectant of what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. All right, all right. You're dismissed.